that were the Tree Fruit Roadmap and the National Wine Grape Initiative. And those really set the plan that Tom said, having a plan is critically important. Nobody's going to support what you want to do unless you have a plan to do it. So I want to bring up Amy Iazzoni to talk about how the Tree Fruit Roadmap was put together through the collaboration of industry and academia.
Thank you, Thomas. I was supposed to be paired with Chalmers Carr for this presentation. Chalmers is the biggest, he runs the biggest peach operation in the southeast U.S. He's also branched out into peppers and broccoli, and he couldn't be here today, but I can tell you I pretty much know what Chalmers would say if he were here, so I'll try to interject that. I'd also want to add that I'm a researcher at Michigan State, a cherry breeder geneticist, but I'm also from a family that grows grapes and has a winery, so I am actually a stakeholder for the grape project, so I wear two hats. So the Tree Fruit Technology Roadmap, it's sort of, I feel sort of odd talking about this because one of the founding members, Jim McPherson, is sitting right here. And this was when Jim was in the capacity of the chairperson of the Washington Tree Fruit Research Commission. So it did outline research priorities for technological innovation, and as Tom Buick said, it's not subsidies, it's not handouts, it's research. And so the goal of this was to prioritize research and communicate it to policyholders and policymakers and researchers. So the vision is to be profitable in a globally competitive market. The U.S. tree fruit industry must deliver the highest quality fruit and reduce production costs 30% by 2010. Two different lines of priority target areas came out of this exercise: plant breeding, genetics and genomics, sensors, automation, and mechanization. This was because these areas of science were really hot, cutting edge, moving really fast at this time, and these industry leaders knew this, and they didn't want their industries to be left behind. So the stakeholders identified these priority areas. So how did the rosacea scientific community respond to this? Well, there was parallel collaboration and community development. In 2003 was the first international rosacea genomics conference in Spain, and those conferences have been going on since then. So the academic community has made a commitment to work together and meet together to share their scientific advances. And as Tom Buick said, you don't get any money if you don't write a plan, right? So the white paper was our plan to try to get money. It worked. We got plant genome funding earmarked for that. Then in 2007, we had a rosacea specialty crop planning workshop, and to let you know where the science was at this time, the publication of whole genome sequences were happening at about 2009. So the problem from the scientist standpoint was there was a chasm between genomics knowledge and the use in breeding application. Academic outcomes essential but need commercial impact. So the NSF type science was going ahead really fast. The application was nowhere. And the industry had communicated the need. Here comes the SCRI program. And so we were able to put that together in what we call RoseBreed, enabling marker-assisted breeding in the rosacea. In the second project, we combined disease resistance and horticultural quality. A couple things about this. This was a community effort of our community, our scientific community, because we had a history of collaboration. We had a history of working together. We knew we were minor crops, and we knew that we could do things better together. The other thing is, I'd like to point out some of the logos on this. This is not only the logos of the institutions involved in Rosebud, but it's also the logos of our advisory panel members. See that Tyetan right there? That's Chalmer Carr's logo. You'll see it on peaches in your supermarket. He's extremely engaged in our advisory panel. The cherry with the little cherry inside of it that says cherries on the bottom, that is the Cherry Marketing Institute. Those are my stakeholders. So we had these parallel things, but I also wanted to mention that plant breeders are really good at interacting with their stakeholders. I have an advisory panel. We know what their priorities are. There's very comfortable back and forth. So although they were parallel in the trenches, breeders with their stakeholders are working in a highly integrated manner, and this helped. We just didn't do this for SCRI. So my last three slides have the same heading, SCRI, new approach and new funding. That's because Tom just told you the history. I began at Michigan State in 1981, and I had all those years of there was no funding for breeding at all. I was able to get some plant genome funding to do targeted discovery work on various areas, and that was very important, but there was no funding for breeding specialty crops. And also, since the grants were small, you couldn't do these highly collaborative things. And because we're not corn and soybeans, there were not the six-figure or seven-figure dollars from the industry to do it. So this was a new horizon. And one of the mantras I always carry with me is that there's a laser focus on stakeholder priorities that need solutions. Because I had all these years of just nothing, I really bought into this. And Rosebreed really bought into this. This is what the money is for. And you don't lose sight of that. And if you do that, you also buy into the logic model that they need us do. Because you need to be successful in an application standpoint, you need to define what success looks like. You need to seek and achieve a return on investment. Chalmers will come to our AP meetings and says, Amy, I just want to make sure you're doing a good job with that money we got you. Okay. That's fair enough. That's what they're supposed to do. And then it's our job to also communicate progress and impact. And if Chalmers had been here, he told me he was going to put together a set of dueling the genome slides. He'd already gotten them from Ksenia, which is it's one of the major deliverables from our project about major loci that Ksenia can put into application and breeding programs, and other breeders can make the breeding programs more efficient. So the stakeholders, at least some who have highly engaged with our project, get this. They've bought into the science and they see the application, and we've communicated that to them. The other thing is a collaborative approach. Another mantra I carry with me is we focus on what we can do better together. It's just years of minor crops, too small to do anything. Why in the world would we compete with each other? And by the way, industries do not like to see scientists fighting with each other. It looks petty to them, and it looks like a waste of money. So keep that in the back of your mind, too. The systems approach across crops, discipline areas, institutions to tackle the big roadblocks to progress. Not only did the collaborative approach, which the SCRI program does, allow us to tackle these big projects, but it also gave us the money to do it. We had no place before to get the money. And then, of course, to strengthen stakeholder partnerships, engagement, and extension. Our AP members have really bought in and gotten engaged, and they take this seriously. And so do we. So my last slide is sustaining progress, and this is another mantra I carry with them. Although sometimes it feels like Rosebreed will last forever, it won't. It won't. But it is my job as a PI to try to think of ways that the investment in Rosebreed will last forever, because that is the ultimate way to maximize the gain on investment. And that is to develop the technologies, but also to make sure there's a lot of deployment of these technologies in your project. Don't underfund this part of your project. Train and mentor graduate students. We realized that there was a shortage of plant breeding students when we started this project, and so a lot of our breeding students from the program have jobs, and generate spin-off projects. There have been various spin-off projects that have come and more to come from Rosebreed, and that is because we meet in Rosebreed, we do collaborations, but then we find out that there are certain things that don't fit in Rosebreed, but they can be spun off and be done very well, such as like the strawberry root rot project led by Steve Knapp, who met Vance Whitaker, the Florida person, through Rosebreed, and Ksenia Gasek leading the R. Malaria Planning Grant. This is a direct outcome of Rosebreed. So with the spin-off projects, the other mantra is, you know, we're not competing against the spin-off projects, we're enabling spin-off projects. So with that, I'll answer questions if there are any. Yep. Yeah. 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 That's a very good point, because the NSF and the plant genome fuels those discoveries that come into Rosebreed, and so funding for those programs is very critical. And when we are building a Rosebreed project, we have to make sure we're aware of what NSF and Plant Genome is funding, so we don't do it and we can leverage it before it's even funded. So for example, with Pat Edger and Steve Knapp, I'm trying to figure out what they know in strawberry so that we can help get that into application. So it's a continuum. And so a very important point. Mm-hmm.